Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Again, I thank you for allowing us to come into your place of hearing so we can just share the word of God and grow together. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. So I'd like to just go ahead and pray and get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and our minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace, as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirits and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, this is part 3 of walking in purpose, or slipping into the dark, standing in confusion, or enjoying his perfection. This is something that we're going to have to do, in particularly in the days in which we live. We have trouble on every side, but I want you to know that the people of God are the answer. The people of God are supposed to be the one that leads a world that's hurting into a truth and into a liberty that would cause them to enjoy their station in life, not just endure their station in life. You know, ironically and unfortunately, some of the things that we have chosen to live by listening to causes us to enter into bondage. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then will you be disciplined in what you do, my disciples in what you do, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The way I understand that is if I'm made free, according to what Jesus said, he says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He didn't say whom the Son sets free is going to still be impacted by everything those that don't have a covenant relationship with me will be impacted by. See, there is a difference, beloved, between you and those that don't have a covenant relationship with God. We just got to, again, begin to put our trust in what he said. If you have faith, then you change your conversation. If you, as you have faith, you won't speak to the people that's frustrating you. You'll speak to the mountain, the thing that's controlling what you see. Okay? It's the way we look at a thing. That's what causes us the issues of life. That's why he told you to guard your heart with all diligence. For out of your heart, please, 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 let's just hear that real good. That's Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 20, he says to guard your heart with all diligence. He says, my son, keep my word. Just flip over there. I was not going here, but I just want you to know this. You got to function in these truths. You've got to settle yourself there, okay? Because if you don't, then you're just going to be moved by every wind of doctrine. Everything the devil tries to bring your way, you're going to go for it. You know, God is asking you to stand. But if you don't allow faith to fill your heart, you won't have the ability to stand. You won't have the ability to win. You will have the ability to bellyache and cry to the Lord. Amen. Not mad about that. But I would like to know the other side of it. I'd like to know that he heard me, and I know that I have the petitions desired. I don't have to continue to bellyache and cry to God, hoping that because I'm speaking a lot, because I'm praying a lot, he's hearing me. No, I know that if I ask anything according to his will, he hears me. Okay? Proverbs chapter 4. He tells us this, my son, attend unto my words. Incline your ears unto my saying. He says, I need for you to pay attention to what I say. You know, I was thinking today, and I heard this in my spirit. You know, a word that's been spoken over your life is still an active word. I mean, we might need to just settle our hearts right there. Just because you didn't see what you thought you were supposed to see does not mean that the word is not working. We're going to deal with that today. We're going to go to Isaiah 55. See, we've got to purpose in our hearts that we're going to let God be true and every man a liar. I don't care if 15 people say the same thing on a news station that I happen to be listening to. Let God be true and every man be a liar. See, I just resolved that in my heart. You know, I'm aware of the virus, the corona thing that's happening. I'm aware of that. But see, I've connected my heart to a promise of God. First of all, and that promise says he will never leave me nor forsake me. Therefore, I will not have to fear. See, fear has torment. Fear robs my faith from every opportunity for it to work. Okay, all right. We can very clearly see that fear is of the devil. And the devil only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay, only. So fear does not come to make you aware of a situation. Fear comes to stop you from taking authority over the situation. Fear is going to immobilize you. That's why I ask the question, are we walking in purpose or are we slipping into the dark? Are we standing in confusion or are we enjoying his perfection? He's the one that made promises that he will perfect that which concerns you. Okay, let's just try this. You know, tomorrow is one of the things that concerns you. I don't mean that it's one of the things that you worry about. It is one of the things that God has put in your future, so it's one of the things that concerns you, one of the things you are involved in. Okay, I just look at it from that perspective, not one of the things that you worried about. No, he didn't say he would perfect anything that you worried about. Because if you're worried about it, then you're not allowing faith to work. You just got robbed of the opportunity for faith to work. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. See? So we've got to allow God to do what his word has already settled our future to be. See, if we don't allow that, then we're just going to continue to be moved, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. See? So I'm giving you information that you should be able to rest in, settle yourselves in. The same way the word is forever settled in the heavens is the way we need to have the word settled in our heart. My son, attend unto my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. He says, I want you to look at this rather than look at circumstances. Keep a word in front of you. Keep a promise in front of you. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, the Bible tells, I pray it all the time, that we're supposed to go from faith to faith. So that if I keep the word in front of me, the word will allow me to get to my destination. Because the word is, Jesus said it this way, that the word of God is the spirit of promise. The spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus, that would be the word, wouldn't it? He says very clearly, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That is the thing that's yet to come that has already been promised to you. Okay? It's got to happen, because once God said it, that's already been settled. See, we get to walk out the promise of God step by step. Again, we get to sojourn in the land of promise, walk around in Zion. See, that's what he wants us to do. Keep the word in front of your eyes. Okay? Keep your focus. Okay, I bring it another way so that we can hear it. He says, keep the word in front of your eyes. Keep your focus upon him. Don't depart from what he said. See? I mean, I'm going to tell you right quick, the devil is going to try to give you information that causes you to go to the right or to the left, but God says, I don't want you to do that. I want you on the straight and the narrow. See? I want you walking in purpose. I want you walking in victory. He always causes us to triumph. He gives us the victory. These are promises that we have to, and particularly in these days. See, because here's a question that Jesus asked. He said, when he comes back, will he find faith on the earth? Or will he find people that he has already purchased with his blood in fear? That's exactly what happened in the first church. When Jesus was crucified, the next thing we see is the church, the disciples, those that are already purchased by blood, those that are the ones carrying the promise. Jesus gave them instructions as he was leaving. He gave them instructions. He said, all power is given unto me. He didn't say most power. He said, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Therefore, you go and teach men, make disciples of men. He gave them that instruction. That was his last words that were heard in the earth by a multitude of people at the same time. He said that as he was being ascending out of their presence, being caught up into heaven. That's what he said. And then right quick, you see them collecting in a room because they didn't know what to do. Okay, I'm just trying to get you to see. See, because we always say, we don't know what to do. Well, I don't believe that would be true, because God gives you an unction. He gives you an understanding of what to do. You have an unction, and that unction is the Holy Ghost that's going to teach you what you should do next. You don't need that a man should teach you. Holy Ghost himself will teach you. He told them, gave them the instructions, told them that he will be with them until the end of the earth. I mean, this is what he said. You can see that in Matthew 28. You can see that in Mark chapter 16. Told him, if you pick up any deadly, if you drink something deadly, it won't harm you. He had already told them that nothing shall by any means hurt them. He'd already said this. But we allow fear to enter in and stop the process of using wisdom. See, we think that using wisdom is not doing what God said, but do what man said, do what we think is best. No, using wisdom, Jesus has been made unto you wisdom. Okay? It's already on the inside. He took up residence. See? He wants to be so close to you so that you can walk in your purpose as opposed to reaching for your fears. Okay? Because God didn't give you that spirit. But we hear things, see things, process things from the position of maybe God was not meaning exactly what he said. See, he meant every word. Just for the record, he wrote it all down. That's why he tells us man should not try to live by bread only, but he should live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Said he should live there. He shouldn't visit there every once in a while. Today he's feeling great and strong, and tomorrow he's all underneath circumstances. No. He should be the one that is declaring and decreeing that my God is God, that my God is with me, and he will confirm his word with signs following what I say. So if I say things that the enemy has convinced me is true, and they are not true, because he's the father of lies. Whenever he speaks, he's speaking lies. He's the father of it. Why would we believe a lie from our enemy rather than believe the truth from our Savior? I mean, you can see how we've gotten things backwards. And this is not because we think God it's been a long time. And no, God's waiting on you, beloved. The way I know that God is waiting on you, Jesus said, "It is finished." If it's finished, we are not waiting on him. He has already made the announcement. It is finished. Everything that you need has already been given to you. All power has been given unto me, and I give it unto you. Therefore, you go into all the world, into all of the world, the part that has been introduced to him and the part that hasn't been introduced to him, the part that's walking in the truth and the part that's walking in rebellion. You go into all the world and teach them. Make disciples of them. That's our job. And we can look around and see that we haven't been doing our job too effectively because we don't see the disciples covering the whole earth. Because that's what he said. He says the knowledge of the glory of God is going to fill the whole earth as the waters cover the sea. He wants to, that's why he told us to go into all the earth, because he wants his word in all the earth. He wants his word to be received by everybody so that everybody can enjoy it. I want you to just hear what I just said. He wants his word to be received by everybody. Everybody can walk in victory. This is not, and I don't know how we got there, this is not for the elect few. It's for whosoever will. See? He's asking us to participate in bringing everything back under his submission. The whole earth. And that's going to take you understanding your calling. That's going to take you making your calling and your election sure. It's going to be very difficult for you to make your election sure when you don't really believe it, when you think someone else is supposed to do it, not you. That's the pastor's job. That's the fivefold ministry work. No, the way I read the scripture, he said, all power is given unto me, therefore you go. He didn't say, now this is for the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. He said, you. Because we are collectively the body of Christ. He doesn't just speak to the head, he speaks to the body. In order for the head to go in the place where it can see and execute the responsibility that it has, is if the feet get involved. The body of Christ. When the feet take the head to the place where decisions can be made, then he's going to require his hands to get busy doing what the decision was of Christ. Okay? I mean, okay, come on, y'all, just look at it from this perspective. The devil will tell us to do something, and we'll take our feet and our hands and execute what he said do. Come on now. I think I'll go get me something to drink. The God didn't tell you that. But the devil, who's trying to execute fear in your life, disobedience and rebellion in your life, you go and do that. God told you to forgive if you have aught against any, and you'll take your feet and walk away from the person that you're mad at. When God said to you, agree with your adversary quickly while you are with him in the way. He didn't tell you to take your steps and get hacked. He told you to stay there and find a place of agreement. Find a place of reconciliation. You who are spiritual, if you see a brother overtaken in a fault, restore him, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. See, we're supposed to walk in this. That's purpose. And see, the way it is, God doesn't ask you to do something that he doesn't equip you with the ability to win. It's so simple. He said, don't worry about what you got to say, because the Holy Ghost will give you exactly what you need to say in the day that you're supposed to say it. I mean, God has always done that. Even when you go back and look at Adam, he told Adam, here's your job, Adam. I want you to name all of the animals. The next scripture, verse 27, says, and God brought all of the animals to him to see what he would name it. He asked him to do something and then made sure he was equipped to execute. So God didn't tell you to go ye therefore into all the world without giving you power. Oh, say, I'm finishing my thought here. See, when Jesus was crucified, they went into a room and they locked themselves into the room thinking that that was going to be their protection. And then Jesus came to them, locked up in the room. He walked smooth through the wall. He did not come in the door. He came in the wall. Oh, shoot, that's so rich and powerful there. I mean, if you would understand, Jesus always handles the thing that was troubling us in a complete different way. The barrier between them and the execution of their responsibility was a wall, and Jesus came walking through the wall. You remember when they was out on the sea, and they was just thinking they was about to die? And Jesus came walking to them on the water. He came walking on the problem. He brought the solution on top of the problem. He brought the solution right through the problem. See, if we would look for him that way, because that's what their problem was, they had never seen Jesus in manifestation like that. They had never seen God giving them an answer on top of their problem before, in spite of their problem before. Because these were fishermen. They understood stormy weather. They knew what the steps they had been taking just to make it through. And they said, well, this is looking bad. They was fighting. They was toiling all night with that storm. And Jesus came to them walking on top of the water. And then Peter said, well, now, look here, Jesus, hey, man, I want what you got. And Jesus said, well, come on. If it be you, Lord, bid me come. And Jesus didn't say, oh, no, Peter, you can't walk on water. Who do you think you are? That's not what Jesus said. He said, if you have a desire to walk on water, if you have a desire to walk in victory, if you have a desire to walk in purpose, come on.
I'll make sure that you get the thing done. And Jesus allowed Peter to understand that, because it said, and Peter went to him walking on the water. And then Peter started looking at the circumstances. His old training kicked back in. He looked at the wind. He looked at the waves. And the Bible says, beginning to sink, he cries, oh, Lord, help me. And Jesus didn't leave him out there and say, no, man, you the one said you want to be like me. Jesus reached down, grabbed him, and picked him up. And then the Bible say, and they walked on the water to the boat. After Peter messed up, failed at doing it by himself, Jesus walked him on the water to make sure he understood it's still doable if I stay connected. See, when you stay in purpose, you stay connected. Glory to God. When you don't, you do exactly what Peter did. You're beginning to fall. You start slipping into the dark situation around you. I hope y'all getting some out of this. See, rather than being the victor, you were thinking as the victim. See, when I'm walking in purpose, it does not matter what I'm facing. God has a track record of whatever and zero. He's able to deliver by many or by few. He knows no limits and no restraints. See? And he's trying to get into our hearts that it doesn't matter what you're faced with. The one that allowed it is also going to give you the victory in it. That's the way he operates. See, he brings you into, please hear it, he brings you into a finished work. Okay? I need for you to get that. Absorb that. He brings you into a finished work, not just what we would think a work in progress. The only work in progress is you transforming your mind, you renewing your mind, being transformed because your mind is renewed. That's the only work in process. Because the victory, he gives the victory. You cannot give something that's incomplete, can you? I mean, just so that we get it, you have to finish it first in order to give it. Otherwise, you would say, I'm working on it, and not, it's finished. See, he invites you into a guaranteed victory. He didn't say, and this is the process. He said, this is the victory. Even our faith. Our victory overcomes. See, I say these things and I just want you to hear them. He said, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. He did not say, so that I get this. He did not say, and this is the victory you need to develop. He said, this is the victory that overcomes. Because whatsoever is born of God overcomes. Whatsoever. Glory to God. Even if you're not a whosoever, you got to at least be a whatsoever, don't you? And he said, whatsoever is born of God overcometh. And this is the victory that overcometh, even our faith. So he doesn't want you to abandon your faith, give up on your faith. He wants you to continue to keep the word, the promise in front of you. I'm still in Proverbs chapter 4. Let them not depart from your eyes, verse 21. Keep them, glory to God, keep them in the midst of your heart. He's never been one that was satisfied with a divided heart. He wants your heart to be single. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. If I do that with all, I don't have anything else in there, do I? Our problem is we probably try to love God with some of our heart, with this part of our mind, with that part of our strength. See, okay, look at it. We try to love the Lord our God with the part of our strength that has been developed, and then we excuse the rest of the strength that has not been developed. You know, God, you know my heart. I just can't stay away from other people's husbands. I just can't stay away from other people's wives. You know my heart. No, you didn't use the strength that he gave you. If you would use the strength that he gave you, then you can fulfill the scripture that says, resist the devil and he'll flee. If there's any movement supposed to be happening, it's supposed to be the devil getting away from you, not you walking into the fire that he's already delivered you from. Amen. I mean, we just got to begin to look at the thing from the finished work position. See, when I do that, I am transforming what I think. I'm living out of the renewed mind. That's the way victory is exchanged in your life. See, because this is what it says, to him that knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him the process is sin. The process is still being without. God gave you the supply, and you are living as if God did not give you the supply. That's what the word sin, the primary definition is, to be without a portion. So you're acting as if God didn't give you, as if Jesus didn't finish. Okay? You are approaching it from a defeated position. You are approaching it from a victim's mindset instead of a victor's mindset. When you were created, he gave you a directive. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, have dominion. I don't see anywhere in there where I'm supposed to be underneath, without, and looking for. He said, be fruitful. He did not send me on the expedition to find fruit. He told me to be it. Amen. He said, subdue. He did not tell me to try to subdue. My daughter used to say to me all the time, I tried to, and I would tell her, a trier of the word is not blessed. A doer of the word is the one that's blessed. And most of the time, we make a futile attempt to do, but we don't end up doing. We just end up trying. See? Told him out the chute, be this. Be fruitful. Be one that multiplies. Be one that replenishes. Be one that subdues. Be one that has dominion. See, he hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. So then, since he has not changed, I need to appropriate that promise. I need to keep that promise in the midst of my heart. Why do I need to keep that promise in the midst of my heart? For those promises that are in the midst of my heart, they are life unto me. They are life unto all of the ones that find them. Keep the word in the midst of your heart because it's life to you. When a thing is alive to you, it brings sustenance to you. It brings a refreshing to you. Because when you are in need of water and you have the water and you utilize the water for the purpose that it was created, you have refreshing, don't you? And the refreshing opens up the avenue of strength, doesn't it? When you get food and you eat the sustenance that God has provided for you, you get refreshing and you get strength. Keep the word in the midst of your heart. Keep your eyes on the word, and it will give you a refreshing and strength. It will cause you to have joy because the joy of the Lord is where you derive your strength from. That's why he told us to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Keep it in front of you. Look at it all the time. Keep it in your heart. Meditate it on it all the time. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, you look at it, well, put it in your heart. And then rejoice again. You already rejoiced over it, over the victory. Then walk in the victory in rejoicing. Well, he tells us that we would draw from the wells of salvation with joy. We'll be able to utilize the word of God because the joy that strengthens us told us that we made the right decision to draw out of the salvation that we're supposed to live in, draw out of the well of salvation with joy. Notice he did not tell you to draw out of the well of salvation with fear. He said you draw out of the well of salvation with joy. Amen. See, you should not process and approach God from fear. Approach him because love has been shed abroad in your heart, and you know that love never fails. Love doesn't quit. Love doesn't give up. And as love doesn't give up, then I'm guaranteed the victory that was already spoken in love. I'm trying to ask you the question and get you to answer the question that, yes, I will walk in purpose. The first time that we were introduced to the Spirit of God, the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the earth, upon the face of the deep. He was moving from Jump Street, and he's given you the power and authority to walk in the Spirit. And as you walk in the Spirit, then you will be able to bypass all of the snafus that the devil has tried to set up. You won't fall into the hole that he dug for you. You'll be able to step over or around that. Even if it's a wide something that you have to traverse, that's no problem. Because God gives you the ability by his Spirit to move above it because you're not trapped in it. As a man thinks in his heart, that's where you find the man. That's correct? That so is he. Well, he's made us sit together in heavenly places, not just above, far above all principalities, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. He just gave you the ability to bypass anything the devil set up. Doesn't matter how wide it might seem, how deep it might look. I've been made to sit far above it. Amen. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you. He's going to make sure that you hear the information, the inspiration that causes you to win. So then I will ask you, if for some reason you haven't rehearsed it over and over and over again, and that's what we're going to have to do, is we're going to have to meditate, muse, say it over and over and over again until it becomes so much a part of you that you take the strength of that and execute. See, you can't try to work out something. Okay, I'm going to say it the way it is. You cannot try to work out something that has not been worked in. For it is God that works in you both to do and to will of his good pleasure. He works in so that you can work out. Okay? God's at work in you then you get to walk out what he worked in. Okay? So these are the things that we have to really begin to go back and revisit over and over, begin to convince our own heart. Stand up, and having done all to stand there, for you will be dressed right if you stand there. Stand, therefore. For they are life to those that find them, and they are health to all their flesh. He just said that when you put the word in there and you receive the strength from the word, your flesh will no longer be a problem because your flesh is going to get healed. He said, when you put the word in your heart, keep it in the midst of your heart, you will find life and you will find health for all your flesh. Glory to God. By the word of God, by the Spirit of God, he just took care of what was your biggest problem, your flesh. He said he would take care of all of it. He would heal all of it. You got to remember that when he comes back, he's coming back for a church that does not have spot or blemish or any wrinkle or anything like that. That means that flesh is going to have to be first healed. Amen. See? Then he says, as you get this, look at the progressions here. I hadn't seen this before. First of all, you attend to the word. Apply your ear to it. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Find the life. Find the health. And then keep your heart with that which caused the health. Keep your heart with all diligence. You can't keep your heart if you haven't found the life and caused the flesh to be healed. You can't keep it, can you? Keep your heart now. I keep it by that word. Rejoice means to joy over and over again, right? So now because I am doing that, I am keeping my heart with diligence, on purpose, when the enemy comes to try to tell me it don't work, because this situation is worse than the last situation. Well, it doesn't matter. He said, if I keep the word, I will find life and I will cause healing for all my flesh. Now, from that position, I can keep my heart with all diligence, because out of a kept heart, out of a diligently kept heart, flows the issues of life that are good. If I don't keep my heart with diligence, things that are not good will come out of my heart. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is good. An evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is evil. Twisted. See? I mean, he's giving us a path to walk in. And every one of the paths of the Lord leads you to victory. There is not one path that does not lead you to victory in God. Every path that God has you on leads you to victory. He always causes you to triumph. See? Please hear that. He didn't say he's trying to cause you to stumble so that you can now become stronger because you have to pick yourself up. I'm sorry, that's not what he said. His word is guaranteed to work. Okay? Are you walking in purpose or slipping into the dark, standing in confusion or enjoying his perfection? Jesus is the one that told us perfection is attainable. But perfection is not viewed the same from heaven as it is on earth. God looks for maturity in our attitude and in our disposition. The way we approach a thing, not just the way we leave it. This is maturity. How did I approach it? You remember the story
of the son. The father told the son to go do something, and the son said, I'll do it, and didn't do nothing. The other son said, I don't want to do it, but did it. See, you are looking at maturity. The first son did not want to do it, but he knew better, and he went on and did it. He knew that the one that was asking him to do it was the one interested in blessing his life, not causing him strife. That's one of the things here on earth. We look at information that comes to us from over our head, someone that is a supervisor, someone that is a preacher, someone that's trying to help me walk in truth. We look at them as the problem because you don't know what I'm going through. Yeah, I just gave you a way out of whatever faces you. Walk in truth. Well, I can't forgive. If you would walk in truth, you would find out that forgiveness is not a hard thing to do. That's why God says my commandments, they're not grievous. It's not hard to do it. Once you make the decision up to do it, the doing of it gets easy. But if you're still going to argue with God and barter with God, then you're not going to do what he asks you to do. And the blessing that you so desperately need, you cut off. See, you got to know that God's looking for maturity in our attitude and our disposition. If you do a thing with the wrong position of heart, you might as well have not done it. Because God's looking at the heart, not the results. See, we think God is just interested in results. No, he's interested in the heart, because the heart is the place where he works at. And if you don't display his work inside you, then you can't display that you love him. How can you love him when you don't do what he says do? He says, if you love me, you would keep my commandments. If you love me, you'd do what I told you to do. Oh, well, you know, God, they did this. I know, and I ask you to forgive if you have aught against any. Well, I don't know how. Then don't bother praying, because Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, as you stand praying, forgive. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive you of your sin. So don't even bother to pray if you're not going to say, God, you must help me in this regard, because I want to do it. I've already said amen. I've already said so be it. Show me how to show me what my next step is, God. I want to do this. Show me what my next step is. Because your word is a lamp. Your word is the light. Your word tells me where I should step, where I should go, how I should move. Not my emotions. Because I've been holding back from moving because my emotions say they did this. But he said, if you have aught against any, forgive. See, my emotions are no longer in charge. The word to me was very simple, forgive. I know if I have aught against them. I don't lie to myself. I'm trying to justify my aught by what they did, by what they said, how I feel about what they did or what I said. And he said, no. What I need for you to do is to let my word be a lamp. Let my word be a light. Notice it's going to light up your path and it's going to light up your steps. I don't know why we try to argue with God and say they didn't do something. No, he said, my word is a lamp and a light. A lamp is for personal space. See? When I start walking by what I knew in the private time with God, my personal space, then I can have paths, because that's public space now. If I don't take care of it in the prayer closet, if I don't take care of it with me and the word of God, being converted and sensitized by the word of God, I will not display it in public. The word has to be in two places.
so that it can flow. If it's not in my, if it's not in my personal time, it will not be in my private, in my public time. I'm still blind if I don't put it in my private time. Because that which is developed in my private time gives me the ability to have a path. If I don't deal with it in my private time, I will not have multiple steps. He said that my feet get light to stand up. See? And then I get my steps ordered of the Lord. Path now. See? You got to have it. It's got to be working from glory to glory. It cannot be just, you know, I'm blindly doing a thing. No, he wanted me to see. Why would he give me a light if he wanted me to do something blindly? Come on, y'all. I should know of an assurance that this is required of me, A, and that I'm agreeing to do it, B. I don't know where we got this blind faith from, where that statement is. If his word is a light, the entrance of his word giveth light. It gives understanding to the simple. How then can we say that faith is blind? Lamps and light are not for blind people. Braille and canes would be for blind people, wouldn't it? He gave you lamp and light. Okay? So then he's expecting you to use the lamp and then use the light, and then you will get to the place of destination. Okay? I mean, this is real, real, real easy if you would allow the word to simply be the Lord. Hide the word in your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. Use the health. Use the life. Because out of a heart that is purposed to use the word, out of that heart comes the issues of life. You want to change the things that you don't like in your life from happening? He says the issues come out of a heart that is illuminated, that is committed, that is on purpose, that utilizes all diligence. See, it's time out for what we know as faith accidents. He said all diligence. Let the life of God be made available for you. It starts coming out of your heart. God's looking for maturity in our attitude, in our disposition. He's looking for the way we approach a thing, not just the way we leave it. What we give, not what we have. Because we are the answer that God has placed in the earth. We are the reflection of the Father that they see. We are the reflection of the Father that they see. They only see the Jesus that you allow them to see. You are that reflection. And that reflection should be the same yesterday, today, and forever. You should not be, today I'm happy with them, today I can talk to them, today I'm okay to fellowship with them, and then tomorrow you're not. No, you need to be the same. You are the reflection of the Father, and the Father is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Father doesn't handle you day to day differently. In fact, he said, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. The reason you ain't destroyed is because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It says that his mercies are new every morning. And because of his mercies, that's what keeps you from being destroyed, keeps you from being consumed, Lamentations chapter 3 says. Because he has the same level of mercy available each and every day. But I did it five times yesterday. Uh-huh. And he had new mercy for you tomorrow. Why? Because he knows the only thing that's going to cause you to win, to cause you to change, to cause you to experience victory, is his mercy is now received. It's the goodness of the Lord that leads you to repentance. It's the goodness of the Lord that causes you to see the need to change your ways, to be transformed, to stop walking in failure. See, the reason that we walk in failure is we were not willing to change. We didn't hide the word in our heart. We did not keep it before us. We kept the offense before us. And so then since we were looking at the offense, the only thing we saw was revenge. Glory to God. Because you were looking at the hurt. Looking at the hurt causes you to see a path for revenge. That's all that's going to be revealed. But if I look at the promise of God that said he will perfect that which concerns me, that he's the one that makes all things new. See? That the things concerning me have an end. See, I was under a supervisor, and the supervisor really did not know the function of my job. Okay? And so he would do things to cause my flow of operation to be hindered. And he would do it multiple times. He was the person that I was supposed to be responding and responsible to, got that. But he would do, rather than allow me to walk in my purpose, he would do things and say, this might help you. Well, there are procedures that he was unaware of. And he kept doing things that would just frustrate the whole thing. I mean, good God, it looked like every day he would do that. I understood he wasn't doing it on purpose, but he was doing it repetitively. So that didn't help me none. And so it got so bad to me that I would dream at night that I would kill him. Because if I kill him, he's out of my life. Yeah, what's that? And so it got so bad, and I just kept doing this over and over. And every night I had the same kind of dream that I'd just go kill him. Then one time, it got so bad that after I killed him, I went to the funeral and shot him in the funeral. Now, that's when I woke up in cold sweat. I said, something wrong with you, boy. I mean, it's bad enough that I'm laying in bed with my wife dreaming about another man. I mean, okay, that's crazy all by itself. But then I went to the funeral and shot the dead man. I said, okay, now this God, you got to help me because I have the wrong thing in my heart. There is no word before my face. That the word forgive was just distant to me at that point. The only thing I saw was get rid of it. Because tomorrow he's going to do the same thing. See, here I am. I'm allowing my anger and fear to determine my future. I just said tomorrow he's going to do the same thing. That I'm not listening at a prophetic word from God that's supposed to give me my future. I'm listening at my past over and over again and making my decisions from my past. And it was leading me into defeat 100%. After I killed the man, I'd be going to jail. I'm not going to be able to execute my job then. I'm going to have a new job, busting rocks and building railroad tracks, whatever, I don't know, pressing license plates. I'm going to have a new job. Because I wouldn't allow God to work on my heart, to keep the word before my eyes, not the offense. To have the word in my heart, not the frustration, trying to cover it up in Jesus' name. Because you know what they did, God. So I said, Lord, this is wrong. This don't make no sense. I'm sorry, God. Tell you what, I'm going to do what your Bible says. Your Bible says that I need to cast all my care over on you. When you cast something away from you, that didn't mean drop it at your feet where you could pick it up real quick. He said cast it. Put it far away from you. And so I said, okay, God, that's on you. I'm through with this. I'm not going to go through this no more. I release him. He's not my problem. Right now, I am my problem. I recognize I am my. He's not here. Why am I thinking about him? Why am I upset by what he did? Not what he's doing, what he had to do. This is what he did. It wasn't still happening. Jesus forgave them while they were still cutting him, while they were still piercing him. He didn't say, Father, forgive them for what they did. He said, Father, forgive them because they know not what they do. And so I could see that picture real clear. I said, okay, God, that's it. I'm through with it. And never again will the words come out of my heart that I don't like him, that I need to remove him. I will walk in love because that's what you require of me. My faith was not working. It cannot work because faith only works by love. I was not covering whatever he did. I was remembering and uncovering what he did. And so I said, Lord, I repent. I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry. That's why you waking me up. The dream was not so that I can go execute it. The dream was to show me how far away from you I had moved, calling myself a Christian, walking in unforgiveness, walking in murder, daily killing the man. So I said, nope, Lord, that's it. I'm through. I ain't got to worry about that no more. Within 2 weeks, he was no longer employed by the people that had me in that position. God moved him. A couple of years later, he came to me, found out where I was working, looked me up, came to me, and said, I want to ask you to forgive me. I said, well, I've already done that. He said, no, I got to say it because I recognize how bad I was treating you, how much I was hurting you. I recognize because God showed me all of the things that I did to you that were detrimental, not because I was trying to hurt you. I was protecting myself, and myself was hurting you. I needed to let that self die, he said. Because as Paul said it this way, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. He came to the same understanding that I did, that I was frustrating grace. God commanded me to forgive if I have aught. And I was saying, no, give me a shotgun. And he was came to the place where he recognized that he was trying to protect himself from himself by himself. Good God Almighty. I don't know how you think that's going to work. God ain't in out of nowhere, is he? Protecting himself by himself from himself. Can't do it. And I said, well, sir, yes, sir. I'm glad to forgive you and let you enjoy the liberty that I've enjoyed for quite some time. I release you in your presence. I've already done it in the presence of the Lord. See, this is walking it out for real. See, I'm walking in purpose. I'm not slipping into darkness. I'm not standing in confusion, frustrating the grace of God. I'm enjoying his perfection, the way that he made me. Not the way that I feel. I'm enjoying the way that he made me. He never made me to harbor unforgiveness. He made me to love. And love covers a multitude of sin. Love does not remember a multitude of sin. It covers it. It causes the heart not to see it anymore. It is covered. I placed it in a place where I will no longer look for the thing that I covered. I don't now look for a lump in the rug. I cover it by blood, which makes all things new, which gives life, because life is in the blood. See, I covered it with the blood so that I cannot look at it as an offense anymore. I have to look at it from a new perspective. Wow, here's a way to say it. His offense that he gave to me was my opportunity to enjoy newness. Because life is in the blood. If I give a covering of blood, I can live. I hope y'all hear this. I can live by the covering of blood. If I give a covering of blood, if I forgive because of the blood, I can now live because of the same blood. Glory to God. But here we are, not willing to forgive, not willing to cover. So then we're saying, I will not have life. My son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth, and a perverse lip put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Stop being twisted in your thinking. Stop being twisted in your response and action. God is looking for us to be perfect, mature in our attitude and disposition, in the way we approach a thing, not just the way we leave it, in what we give, not what we have, because we are the answer that God has placed in the earth. We are the reflection of the Father that they see, and that reflection should be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Love is patient, and patient means constantly, consistently the same. Let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The process of learning is completed in patience. We try to walk in purpose without the process of perfection. The process of us hiding a word in our heart, keeping it before our eyes, and then walking in the perfect law of liberty. You can never obtain and maintain anything that you receive without the proper processes. You just can't do it. If you got it by hook and crook, it's going to be the thing they took. You're going to have to decide that, no, I was saved by an incorruptible word, so that I cannot get it through hook and crook. It has to be an incorruptible word, a word that does not fade away, a word that speaks to me from heaven, not speaks to me from the conditions of earth. You can't wait till things get right so that you can enjoy them. You have to make them right, and the enjoyment is included in the process of making it right. See? When I walk in that purpose of God, that's me walking in submission. And when I submit, I can subdue. If I don't submit, I cannot subdue. So then I'm going to be overtaken by the sin that I did not submit to God. This is the way it has to be. He has to be Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. See, God is asking us to come into the place where our heart is connected and remains connected to his promise, connected to his love, connected to his spirit. I'll take myself away from that place. I stay there. That's where he called me. That's where he planted me. I'm not supposed to take my feet and run all over the place because I'm mad at this one or upset by that. No. He planted me there. And where he planted me, he will sustain me. See, I have to say by my obedience that I trust. If I don't trust, I'm not going to be obedient. Come on, people. I have to declare by my obedience that I trust. If I'm going to try to get away from it just because I don't like it, then I'm not trusting. He that called me, he's faithful to do it. He's faithful to perform it. So I've got to believe him that whatever I'm facing, he, first of all, is in it with me, and he's giving me a way to deal with it permanently. He's not asking me to continue to hit and miss and be hot and cold. He's asking me to be perfect, consistently, constantly the same, because love is patient. God waited on you to get it right. Can't we extend that same liberty to others instead of our judgment based in our fears and hurts? Beloved, we are needing to walk in truth, not needing to walk in emotions, not needing to walk in the past. A blood-covered situation is a situation that produces life for you and the one you covered with the blood. But the choice is truly yours. God's waiting on you to allow the promises that he's given unto you to become effective in your heart so they can become effective in your life, because when you find them, they are life and they are health to all your flesh. Your way or God's way? Father, we just thank you and bless you for your word that you sent to heal us, to deliver us, to strengthen us, to cause us to be able to be conformed into the image of Christ Jesus, that we would look like a reflection of our Father, and that reflection would be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, Father, for growing us up in you so that we can walk worthy of the vocation that you called us to. We give you praise for that, sir. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, we're going to go ahead at this portion and open up the mic for commentary or questions, whichever. And so we're going to give the mic to area code 470. Four 418. 1818. That's 470. 418-1818. You have the mic. Glory to God. Any questions or comments? Amen. Amen. Well, again, we just thank you for joining the call. If you would, then we'll give the opportunity to area code 404-394-97. You have the mic. Go ahead. Anything? Any questions? All right. Area code 404. Everybody's here in Atlanta. 404-295-5820. Area code 404-295-5820. You have the phone. Any questions or comments?
I just want you to. Hey, Brother Steve.
Hey, hello. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I thoroughly enjoyed the message. I do have a question. Because when you were saying that, you know, waiting on God and having patience and allowing God to work it out. And sometimes I'm just wondering if I am procrastinating or if I'm waiting. How can I tell the difference?
Okay. All right. That's good. Procrastination does not produce peace. Okay. And they that wait on the Lord, Isaiah 40 says, they will renew their strength. Okay? So then if I don't have peace, I'm probably procrastinating and not waiting. Waiting is a winning attitude. Here's my acronym for wait. Wait is a winning attitude in transition. A winning attitude in transition is not frustration, is it?
Right.
See, just because
right.
I don't have an answer, I probably exhibit frustration. Because, Lord, it's been 2 days. It's been 2 months. Okay? So then I have no peace in the situation. If I'm waiting, if I'm ministering unto the Lord, wait, that's what he said there. If I'm ministering unto the Lord by trusting, then I get renewed strength to continue to trust him in a whole different way, in a whole different light. You know, when I make up a decision to do it God's way, I probably won't be in the situation very long because he hastens his word to perform it. See?
Okay.
There's a difference in waiting and then and one that's just procrastinating. I don't want to do nothing. You usually would be motivated by fear. He gives instruction. Okay? He's going to give instruction every day, all day. That's why he says stuff like, today, if you will hear my voice. So that he's going to give instructions today, isn't he?
Right.
Now, here's another thing about that. If I haven't done what God told me to do last, then I should not expect a change. So whenever you are having questions, go back to the last thing God told you to do and make sure that's done. Because a lot of times we haven't done what he told us to do, and then we're expecting him to do something else. No, he's waiting on obedience. Again, your obedience tells you that purpose is now directing you. If you don't trust him to do what he told you to do, purpose cannot be opened up to you because you're practicing disobedience.
Okay. I think one of my issues is the age process. I'm thinking that, you know, I'm looking around and hearing all the younger people talk about what they're doing, and I'm thinking, wow, I'm just getting older and seem like I'm just not, I got a lot to cover, and yet the age process makes you think that you just don't have a lot of time to do it.
Okay. I can understand that. That would be a natural position of heart. Let's look at some of the people that did the things that God told him to do. Because, see, God sustains his word. He sustains it for you and through you. You remember the scripture that says that when Paul was ready to be offered up, it says the aged Paul.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that? Okay, so then
yes.
Him doing the will of God also opened up the ability for him to enjoy it and endure for a long time, where his report was he was the aged Paul. Sure, he wanted to probably do it when he was younger. He thought he was doing the will of God, executing people. Okay? He was zealous. He was the one that told the children of Israel, the Jews, that they had a zeal for the Lord, but not according to righteousness. Remember that in Romans chapter 10?
Yes.
See? So he was confessing that he had already done the same thing. He had a zeal for the Lord. He wanted to do it, but he didn't learn yet how to do it by righteousness. Because righteousness, peace of joy, which is the Holy, which is the kingdom of God in the Holy Ghost, he says the kingdom of God has no end. Yeah.
Okay.
So we don't have to hurry up and do it. We have to settle ourselves to do it.
Okay, I receive that. Thank you.
Yeah. Amen. Not a problem. That's what we're here for. All right. Well, that's the last call. So I would like to thank everyone for participating in the call tonight. And we'll look for you next week. And we'll be able to, again, open up scriptural studies that are designed to help us grow and accomplish the will of the Lord in a step-by-step process. If you have been blessed by the ministry tonight and the Lord puts it on your heart to sow a seed, please do so. You can go to the website, livedeliverance.com, and you can just go to the offering tab and be a blessing, and the Lord will richly reward you because you are keeping the airwaves open to receive truths
in a troubled time so that we can enjoy the presence of God day by day. Till we hear from you next time, shalom. Be blessed.